Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracia, misericordia y paz a ustedes de Dios nuestro Padre Celestial y nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Amen. The remainder of the sermon will be in English. Our text for this morning is from the passage from Ezekiel just read. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, first I want to extend brief congratulations to all who are in the sending service this morning. Congratulations on your accomplishments. Our hopes and prayers are for blessings for you in the various ministries which you will do. Second, this is a week in which we are praying for the persecuted church. This seems like a perfect text based on that theme. This theme is useful in all our various ministries, whether as students, professors, or soon-to-be graduates, or as staff. In whatever we do, as family members, it is useful. As we have little time due to the sending service and announcements of placements and vicarages, this homily will be mercifully brief. But in that way as well, we will not contribute to the persecution of those present. When we examine our broader text, the theme of persecution is quite striking. At first glance, it looks like the text advocates a kind of Zionism, with the sheep returning to the hills of Israel after a long hiatus in foreign territories. And on a certain level, this might be seen as a true theme, especially in Ezekiel's day. Of course, Paul works this out for us in that those who are in Christ Jesus are the true Israel. The hills and the mountains with the good pasture then become the purview of the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And this works well with the second part of the reading, where the good shepherd is described as David and Matthew and Luke, where in the genealogical text, Jesus is described as in the line of David. So far, nothing shocking in the text. What we stumble over, however, is where the persecution is coming from. In this text, the persecutors are from within the flock, not outside the flock. It comes from us. In our house, there are two cats. I won't say what their origins are, but I will say that we don't exactly own them. But then who can say that they actually own a cat? Ordinarily, it's the other way around. At any rate, this is not about cats persecuting humans, which you might think would work, but rather cats persecuting each other. You see, they were from one litter, and one was the runt of the litter, and the other was the fat cat of the litter. As time went on, two dogs also appeared in the situation and created a climate of generalized persecution for the cats, causing them to generally retreat to their cat tree for much of the day. So what happened? The fat cat, now 20 pounds, became fatter and fatter because all he did was sit on the cat tree and eat most of the food which was found there. The skinny cat occasionally got a few nibbles in and ate some of the dog food, but he got very little food during this period, remained thin, not too bad, 11 pounds, he's actually healthy. But he's also dog-proof because he can get away. So when we go to the vet, which cat was placed on the diet? Well, actually neither, because vets have given up on the law and they don't ask cats to lose weight anymore, but you get the idea. The real problem in this text is that we as believers tend to build up resources for ourselves. We tend to become the fat cats without being generous to our Christian brothers and sisters who are in great need. The shocking aspect of the text is that as a nation and situation, we are extraordinarily wealthy. No one here at the seminary that I know of is living in a shack with a tin roof, nor are they in need of clean drinking water. As individual Christians, we are also well off. And Sometimes I think we take many, many more resources than we are required to. Now, it is true also at times that we are in misery, but it is not usually at the basic level of not having enough to eat, of being persecuted by governmental and religious authorities, of having our lives ended and property stolen by groups like ISIS, and living in situations where our lives are at stake. Instead, we face critical choices like what classes to take, or what classes to offer, or what items to buy at the store to eat. We do not have our issues or pressures of life. We do have our issues and pressures of life, but they are typically derivative of our prosperity and not our lack. We are often the sleek, fat sheep who take the first part of the resources and still complain that we do not have enough. And what happens to the fat sheep in our text? The ones who have been taking all the resources and not sharing. The shepherd deals with them, and it is not pleasant. If the problem often comes from us, the answer comes from God Himself. We do have a good shepherd, one who cares about all the sheep. He disciplines us for our good as sons, as we read in Hebrews. He will not always chide us, but rather pays the price of our salvation to show His love for us. He becomes one of the sheep. He makes His dwelling among us. Although He is the only one who has every right to not do this, and although He is the Lord of all, He asserted none of those rights with us in this world, and instead made Himself nothing, dying, becoming the guilty party that we might be innocent. He took on both human flesh and humbled Himself to death on the cross. He knows all of our sheep problems firsthand and mercifully is there to meet our needs as herding and bleeding sheep, as well as the needs of the fatter sheep who need some thinning out. God is merciful and has died for all. Therefore, we get the good news that even in the case of resource hoarding people, it is not too late to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, both us and our households. It is true that the Christ has died for us and for our salvation, but He would also have us do something as those who are saved. He would have us be, as we have sometimes heard, little Christs to our neighbors. This goes well with the theme in 2 Corinthians 1, whereas the body of Christ, the church, gets to fill up His sufferings in this world. It is true the atonement was completed at the cross, but nonetheless, we get to do what Christ did. And this is the burden of our ministry, having been saved and loved by Jesus, to also serve and love the world in imperfect ways, as He has served, saved, and loved us. This then is our ministry. We must be aware that we can potentially be sleek, fat, and indolent as a church, and we can be persecutors. But then Christ has died even for us, and even the sleek and fat can be redeemed to work in the kingdom as the repentant and saved children of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.